And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Michael Lindebaum, and I am joined by my new co-host from the Buffalo Butte, Haley Williams. Haley, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
It's like, welcome back, actually. This is your third time on the show, but now you're a co-host. How does that feel?
Yeah, I'm excited. My first try at broadcasting.
And it's going to be fun. It's going to be hilarious. We're both probably going to make mistakes and laugh at each other while we do it, and it's going to be fun. But that's part of learning.
It is.
And of course, as always, we were brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And because now that we have Haley, we are going to look into a Buffalo-type sponsor for future episodes. And of course, as always, Haley, now that you're a co-host, I think just with everyone else, we're going to do that little pause. We're not going to hop right into the action. We're going to use this as an opportunity to explain what you're actually going to do on the show now, which is which is Chicago Blackhawks game breakdowns. So we're going to have me do Caps, you do Blackhawks, which is an East and a West thing now, which is really cool. But for the playoffs, you will be actually covering the Blackhawks and the Western Conference, as I will be covering the Capitals and the Eastern Conference. So it's actually going to be very cool dynamic how we're going to be able to, you know, you being from Chicago, having, you know, knowledge of the Blackhawks, me being from the D.C. area and having knowledge of the Caps, and then your knowledge of the West, my knowledge of the East. This is going to make for a very more dynamic, fun show.
Yes, it will. Hopefully I can take time out of my busy off-season schedule to watch the games, actually.
Yes, yes, yes.
All that golfing I'm going to be doing.
You put me into double duty this past week.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's like, all right, the Caps are playing. Oh, wait, oh, what? The Chicago Blackhawks are playing too. Oh, no. What am I going to do? But with that, we're actually going to now hop into the action. Starting off with March 26th, when the St. Louis Blues came to the Washington Capitals, your lineup for the Capitals was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and Justin Williams, Marcus Johansson with Genny Kuznetsov and Andrei Burakovsky, Jason Stramer with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson, Stanislav Galiv with Mike Richards and Daniel Winnick. Your defense pairings was Carl Alzner and Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, and the starting goaltender was Philip Grubauer. In the first period, the only thing that happened was David Backes of the St. Louis Blues getting a penalty for hooking at 15:53. After the first period, the game was tied at 0 apiece. Shots were 10-8 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 7-3 in favor of the Blues. Hits were 9-3 in favor of the Blues. On the power play, there was none for the Blues, and the Caps were 0-1. Overall, this was a good period for both the Caps and the Blues. This period had really good back and forth and good opportunities at both ends of the ice as well. Biggest thing the Caps need to do better at is in the faceoff circle. Winning faceoffs is key to having good puck possession, especially on offensive zone faceoffs. Also, picking up the hitting game would help them as well. Then, into the second period, for St. Louis, at 4:45, Kyle Brodziak would score his fifth of the season from David Backes and Scotty Upshaw. Then, Dmitry Orlov would be called for roughing at 10:13, along with Paul Stastny at 10:13 as well. Then at 11:05, Colton Parayko scored his 8th of the season, which was unassisted. And then Vladimir Tarasenko scored his 35th of the season at 12:45, assisted by Yuri Laterra and Paul Stastny. And then to end the period off, Kevin Shattenkirk was called for cross-checking at 15:33. At the end of the second period, the Blues were up 3-0 over the Caps. Shots were 24-23 in favor of the Blues. Faceoffs were 15-14 in favor of the Blues. And hits were 27 in favor of the Blues. Also, the Blues had no power play still go after 40 minutes of play. And the Capitals were 0-2. This was a strong period for the Blues. They got one early and added two more quick ones to get the 3-0 lead on the Caps. The Caps need to play more physical, and they need to play their game. The Caps need to also clean up their play in their own end as well. There are too many mistakes that costed them, which led to those goals by the Blues. And then going into the third period, Alex Ovechkin would be called for roughing at 9:16 along with Joel Edmondson at 9:16. And then at 17:45, Patrick Bergwijn would score his ninth of the season from Alex Pietrangelo and Paul Stastny. So at the end of the game, the St. Louis Blues would win 4-0. Caps would outshoot the Blues 32-29. Faceoffs were 25-19 in favor of the Blues, and hits were 28-14 in favor of the Blues. The Capitals did not have a single penalty kill this entire game and were also 0-2 on the power play. As great as it was that the Caps were didn't take a penalty that actually resulted in a power play, that is great. But at the same time, this was just an embarrassment for the Washington Capitals. This was a game that is being built, and it will be built again when the Caps play the Blues later on in the week, as a potential Stanley Cup Finals preview. When you have these type of games against a team like Chicago, St. Louis, Los Angeles, Anaheim, who the Caps actually end the season with, you cannot go into these games and just kind of cakewalk it because you have everything else wrapped up. So definitely an embarrassing game for the Caps. They need to do better. But we're not going to talk about the Caps right now, as we're going to hop into the other game on March 26th, which was the Chicago Blackhawks versus the Calgary Flames, or at the Calgary Flames. So Haley, go ahead and take it away.
All right, so on March 26th, you had Jonathan Toews in between Andrew Ladd and Marian Hossa. Artem Anisimov in between Artemi Panarin and Patrick Kane. Tuvo Teravainen in between Tomas Fleischmann and Richard Panik. Marcus Kruger in between Andrew Jarden and Andrew Shaw. Duncan Keith and Nicholas Jalmerson. Victor Svedberg with Brent Seabrook and Trevor Van Riemsdyk with Michael Roosevelt, and then Scott Darling was in net. In the first period, nothing really happened. The shots were even 9-9. Faceoffs were won by Calgary 8-7, and Calgary was up in hits 5-2. So I guess the team just played well. So for the second period, Calgary had a penalty at 3:10, Sam Bennett for tripping, followed by a Chicago goal at 5:51 by Andrew Ladd. Unassisted. Calgary goal at 12:47. Dougie Hamilton from Freddie Hamilton and Johnny Gaudreau. And then Chicago got a penalty at 13:41. Andrew Shaw for roughing. And a coincidental penalty, actually, for Calgary, 13:41. Garnet Hathaway for roughing as well. Another coincidental, less than a minute later at 14:21. Jonathan Toews, double minor for roughing, along with Calgary's Dougie Hamilton for roughing. And then Chicago got another penalty at 16:01, Andrew Shaw for slashing, followed by a goal by Shaw at 19:11 from Michael Roosevelt and Andrew Ladd. This period, the shots were 21-16 in favor of Calgary. Faceoffs were won 17-14 by Calgary. Hits 15-4, Calgary, and Chicago was 0-1 on their power play, and Calgary was 0-2. Ending the second period, Chicago was up 2-1, even though Calgary was leading across the board on stats. So it looks like Calgary just needs to put the puck in the net. But good for Chicago, up 2-1. Third period, Calgary penalty, 7:02, Garnet Hathaway for tripping. And then Chicago got a goal at 18:48, Andrew Ladd unassisted. And then another goal, 19:48, Tuovo Teravainen from Patrick Kane and Nicholas Jalmerson. That was the end of the third period, and Chicago won 4-1. Shots were 32-27 in favor of Calgary. Faceoffs 28-26, Calgary. Hits 18-6 in favor of Calgary, and then both 2 on the power play.
All right, and then, of course, we had the game on March 27th, which the Chicago Blackhawks took on the Vancouver Canucks in Vancouver. Haley.
Oh, yep, I'm up again. All right, so we've got Jonathan Toews in between Andrew Ladd and Marian Hossa, Teravainen in between Artemi Panarin and Patrick Kane, Dennis Rasmussen in between Tomas Fleischmann and Dale Weiss. Marcus Kruger in between Andrew DeJardin and Andrew Shaw. And then D partners were Duncan Keith and Nicholas Jalmerson. Victor Svedberg with Brent Seabrook. And Christian Ehrhoff with Trevor Van Riemsdyk, Scott Darling, and Ned again for the Hawks. The first period, Chicago got a goal at 17:42. Tomas Fleischmann from Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Christian Ehrhoff. That's all that happened in the first. This game, Chicago came out shots 13-7 over Vancouver. Faceoffs won by Vancouver 10-9. And then Vancouver leading in hits again 10-2 against Chicago. No power plays for either team. Seems like that Chicago needs to get more hits. Seems like a trend here for the games. For the second period, Vancouver got a penalty at 21 seconds in. Henrik Sedin for hooking. And then Vancouver got a goal at 11:29. Alexander Burrows from Lyndon Bay and Emerson Edom. After the second period, the score was tied 1-1. Stops were in favor of Vancouver 28-22. Faceoffs won by Chicago 21-17. And then Vancouver is up with hits 15-3. Chicago is 0-1 on their power play. Again, with the hits, those are big for these games, and the physical play needs to be up for the Hawks. In the third period, Chicago starts off scoring at 5:37. Tuuvo Teravainen from Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Patrick Kane. Chicago gets a penalty at 7:05. Jonathan Toews, double minor for high sticking. Chicago also gets another penalty by Andrew Ladd at the same time for roughing. And so does Vancouver. 7:05, Matt Bartkowski for roughing. Followed by a Vancouver goal at 14:18. Sven Berchi from Emerson Edom. And then Chicago got a goal at 17:33. Andrew Ladd from Jonathan Toews and Nicholas Jalmerson. At the end of the third, Chicago won 3-2. Shots 32-28 in favor of Chicago. Faceoffs 34-24 in favor of Chicago. And then Vancouver then hits 19-5. Chicago was 0-1 on their power play, and Vancouver was 0-2.
And anything else, Haley? Any analysis that you want to put in for these past two games for the Blackhawks?
The Hawks are doing a good job of getting the puck in the net, even though their physical game isn't really there. I think going forward, we'd hope to see the Hawks being more physical so that they can dominate that way and not just in scoring. Also, with the penalties, you see that there are a lot of like hooking and high-sticking penalties, which are kind of lazier penalties. If they just keep their feet moving, then those penalties will become less.
Fair enough. And with that, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll do the NWHL report, or I'll be doing the NWHL report. And then when we come back from that, we'll be doing more Caps and Blackhawks game breakdowns.
And ladies and gentlemen, the MCW Spring Fever 2016 tour is hot on the trail on Saturday, April 9th at the Galena Volunteer Fire Department in Galena, Maryland. Come see Sean Waltman, Bruiser, the Hellcats, and MCW Women's Champion Renee Michelle. For more information and to purchase tickets to the MCW Spring Fever tour, visit MarylandWrestling.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And it is now time for the NWHL Report, which is brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see celebrity guests like Summer Glau, Adam West, John Barrowman, Kevin Smith, Riddle, and many more. For more information or to purchase tickets to AwesomeCon, visit awesome-con.com. And starting off with March 29th, Rick Seeling has been named general manager of the Buffalo Buttes. NWHL Commissioner Danny Ryland announced Rick Seeling and Shilly Looney both served as co-coaches of the Buttes last season and guided Buffalo to an upset over the Connecticut Whale in the semifinals of the Isabel Cup playoffs. And Rick Seeling has also been announced as returning as the coach of the Buffalo Buttes as well. Then on March 31st, Haley Moore will return as general manager of the Boston Pride. NWHL Commissioner Danny Ryland announced the Boston Pride finished the regular season with an impressive 14-3-1 record before sweeping both New York Rivers and Buffalo Buttes to win the inaugural Isabel Cup. And then also Chad Wiseman has been named the general manager of the New York Rivers. NWHL Commissioner Danny Ryland announced the Rivers finished the season in last place with a 4-12-2 record and lost to the Boston Pride in the first round of the Isabel Cup playoffs. Then, on April 1st, the National Women's Hockey League has announced a restricted free agency period during the month of April, during which time players can choose to re-sign with their former organization and 2015 draft selections can commit to the club which drafted them. On May 1st, restricted free agents who have not signed contracts and draft picks who did not sign with the team which drafted them before will become free agents and can sign with any organization in the league. All contracts signed during restricted free agency and free agency will be one-year contracts. In addition to restricted free agency, the league also announced a new draft tax. The draft tax will affect clubs who sign other teams' draft selections. Below are updates to the NWHL bylaws. The member club which drafts a player retains exclusive rights to the player, but must abide by NCAA and CIS rules if applicable to ensure the player can continue their collegiate career. Once drafted, the player must complete their degree and continue playing at the same level of commitment as when drafted. If the player returns to college for a fifth year, the club that drafted them retains the exclusive rights to that player for the free agency period following her final year of college. If the player decides to sign with another club, that club will forfeit between $1,000 to $5,000 of their salary cap to the club that drafted the player. $1,000 for fifth-round picks, $2,000 for fourth-round picks, $3,000 for third-round picks, $4,000 for second-round picks, and $5,000 for first-round picks. For more information on the NWHL, visit NWHL.co or follow on Twitter at NWHL. And when we come back, Haley and I will be doing more Caps and Blackhawks breakdowns. Ever interested in meeting your favorite athletes or celebrities, or looking for that right memorabilia for your collection? Then come to the CSA Shows in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information, go to csashows.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for the serious hockey fans. Haley Williams here, and we are going to send it right back to Mike for Caps vs. Blue Jackets.
Thanks, Haley. You sounded like you wanted to laugh the entire time you said that.
Hey, I'm practicing over here.
All right. Fair enough. Well, while you keep doing some practicing, we're going to jump right back into it. March 28th, the Columbus Blue Jackets took on the Washington Capitals. Your lineup for the Caps was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and Justin Williams, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and TJ Oshie, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Jay Beagle, Daniel Winnick with Mike Richards and Tom Wilson. Defense pairings were Carl Alzer and Matt Niskanen, Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, and Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov. Braden Holtby was your starter in net. And going into the first period, Tom Wilson was called for tripping at what time, I don't know, because I didn't write it down. So, oops. Then at 16:30, the Caps got on the board with Justin Williams scoring his 22nd of the season from John Carlson and Nate Schmidt, their 26th and 14th assists of the season, respectively. Then at 18:06, Columbus would tie it up with Cam Atkinson scoring his 27th of the season from Gregory Campbell and Rennie Bork. At the end of the first, it would be tied 1-1. Shots would be 13-12 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs 10-8 in favor of the Caps. And hits 7-6 in favor of the Caps. On the power play, Columbus would be 0-1. And the Caps did not have a single power play. This was not a bad first period for the Caps. They played a well-disciplined first period and were able to get the first goal of the game. However, a mistake in their own zone proved costly as the Blue Jackets were able to tie the game going into the first intermission. Then, in the second period, Cody Golubev was called for tripping at 2:55, then Tom Wilson was called for boarding at 6:38, and then Boone Jenner was called for slashing at 12:39. At the end of the second period, Columbus and Caps would still be tied at one apiece. Shots were 21-16 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 16-15 in favor of the Caps. And hits were 12-11 in favor of the Capitals. Both teams were 0-2 on the power play. I'm not going to lie, this was a very boring and sloppy period for the Caps. They need to clean up their play in their own zone and execute their power play much better. And then going into the third period, Boone Jenner was called for holding 1 minute into the period, and at 3:46, Tom Wilson scored his seventh of the season for Mike Richards and Daniel Winnick, their second and 12th of the season, respectively. And then Scott Hartnell would be called for slashing at 6:29. Then Nicholas Backstrom would get called for unsportsmanlike conduct at 7:20. And then Brandon Dubinsky would be called for goalie interference at 14:18. And on that power play, TJ Oshie would score his 24th of the season at 14:26 from Matt Niskanen and Nicholas Backstrom, their 25th and 47th assists of the season. And with the empty net wide open at 17:35, Nicholas Backstrom would net his 20th of the season from Matt Niskanen and Jason Chimera, their 26th and 20th, respectively. At the end of the game, the Capitals won 4-1. Shots were 40-22 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 33-27 in favor of the Caps. Hits was 18-15 in favor of Columbus. Columbus was 0-3 on the power play, and the Caps were 1-5 on the power play. This was a much better period for the Caps. They came out and played very disciplined, and as a result, drew 3 penalties and utilized that to take over the game and score 3 unanswered goals to lead themselves to their second President's Trophy in franchise history. And going from President Trophy winning to playoffs spots on the line, we're going to hop over to Haley Williams for the Chicago Blackhawks at the Minnesota Wild on March 29th.
All right, so for your lineup for the Blackhawks, you had Jonathan Toews in between Marian Hossa and Andrew Ladd, Tuvo Teräväinen in between Artemi Panarin and Patrick Kane, Dennis Rasmussen in between Richard Panik and Tomas Fleischmann. Marcus Kruger in between Andrew Shaw and Andrew Desjardin. And then for your D partners, you had Duncan Keith and Nicholas Hjalmarsson. Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Christian Ehrhoff. Victor Svedberg and Michael Roosevelt. And then Scott Darling in net. In the first period, Minnesota got a goal at 2:37. Jarrett Stoll from Mike Riley and Jordan Schroeder. That's Stoll's fourth goal of the season. Chicago got a penalty at 3:15, Marian Hossa for tripping. Another Chicago penalty at 9:27, Duncan Keith for a match penalty. And then shorthanded goal by Marian Hossa at 11:55, his 13th of the season from Jonathan Toews and Michael Roosevelt. After the first period, it was tied 1-1. Shots were 5-8 in favor of Minnesota. Faceoff 6-13 in favor of Minnesota again, and Chicago's hits were 7-3. No power plays for Chicago, and Minnesota was 0-2 on the power play. We can see that Chicago's physical game has improved from the last two games, and I think this is helping them with their successes. For the second period, Chicago penalty at 2:26, Marian Hossa for delay of game, followed by a Minnesota penalty at 6:39, Matt Dumba, 5-minute major for fighting. Coincidentally, with Andrew Shaw from the Blackhawks, same 5-minute major for fighting at 6:39. Minnesota penalty at 10:35, bench served by Niederreiter for too many men. And another Minnesota penalty at 16:42 by Ryan Suter for interference. Still tied 1-1 after the second. Shots were 12-14 in favor of Minnesota. Faceoffs 11-19 in favor of Minnesota. Chicago's hits 9-6, and Chicago was 0-2 on the power play. Minnesota was 0-3. Looks like a pretty even game. Chicago should probably start winning more faceoffs, though. That's pretty important. Third period, Minnesota goal at 4:07. Jared Spurgeon from Mikko Koivu and Jason Pominville. Another Minnesota goal, 11:03. Eric Halla, his 13th of the season from Nino Niederreiter and Matt Dumba. Minnesota got a penalty at 14:56, Eric Halla for high-sticking, and then a goal by Minnesota 18:41, Nino Niederreiter from Michael Granlund and Eric Halla. Ending the game, Minnesota won 4-1. Shots were in favor of Chicago, 19-18. Minnesota won faceoffs 29-14 and 15-11 hits. Both were 0 for 3 on the power play. You can see that Minnesota started getting a big lead on those faceoffs, and I think that that made a big difference on who had more offensive power in the game, and you can see that Minnesota got a few goals there to get the lead and win the game.
And now, of course, you mentioned earlier that Duncan Keith got a match penalty. We'll talk more about that, as there were further ramifications for Duncan Keith's actions that resulted in that match penalty. But, of course, next up, we got the Washington Capitals at the Philadelphia Flyers on March 30th. Your starting lineup for the Washington Capitals. There's a little confusion. I'll clarify that in a moment. Alex Ovechkin with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Marcus Johansson. Andrei Burakovsky with Nicholas Backstrom and Justin Williams. Jason Stromer with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson. Daniel Winnick with Mike Richards. And originally Michael Latta, then became TJ Oshie. And then TJ Oshie switched from the fourth line to the third line with Tom Wilson. Originally Oshie was not slated to play this game, ended up playing. Hence why Latta got scratched, Wilson bumped down to fourth line, and Oshie on third. Defensive pairings with Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Carl Alzer, Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, and Braden Holtby in the net. In the first period, TJ Oshie would be called for tripping at 12:45, and then at the end of the period, both Alex Ovechkin and Nick Schultz would get coincidental minors for roughing. At the end of the first period, it would be a tie, nothing-nothing between the Caps and Flyers. Shots were 13-11 in favor of the Flyers. Faceoffs were 12-7 in favor of the Flyers. And hits were 12-8 in favor of the Flyers. The Caps had no power plays, whereas the Flyers had one. It was an okay first period for the Caps. It felt that the Flyers controlled the tempo more and had the better quality scoring chances. The Caps need to use their speed and start generating scoring chances. And we can't help the officials for this game. Second period, Brandon Manning was called for hooking at 19:36. Again, at the end of the second, the Caps and the Flyers would be tied at zero apiece. Shots were 23-18 in favor of the Flyers. Faceoffs were 26-16 in favor of the Flyers. And hits were 22-19 in favor of the Flyers. For the power play, the Flyers were 0-1, whereas the Caps' first one was still in progress at the end of the period. A very slow period for the Caps. The Flyers dominated the first half of the period, but then the Caps would pick up the pace. The Caps start the third period on the power play, plus they need to cut out the garbage. The butt ending by Chimera was stupid, and there's more to the Chimera butt ending of Shane Gostisbehere a little later on in the show when we go to news and notes. Then, in the third period, it started off at 1:28. Alex Ovechkin would score his 44th of the season on the power play from Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, their 54th and 29th of the season. Then Matt Niskanen would be called for cross-checking at 7:36. Ryan White called for interference at 7:59. Tom Wilson and Sam Gagne both called for roughing at 11:18. Marcus Johansson for hooking at 12:57. And then on that power play at 14:32, Braden Schenn would score his 25th of the season from Claude Giroux and Wayne Simmonds to tie it. Then, going into overtime, Wayne Simmonds would be called for tripping 32 seconds in, then Shane Couturier would be called for goalie interference at 2:56, but at the same time, Braden Holtby would be called for roughing, which was served by Justin Williams at 2:56 as well. Then going into the shootout in the first round, TJ Oshie would miss for the Caps, but Nick Cousins would score. Then in the second round, Evgeny Kuznetsov would miss, and then Sam Gagne would score, which means the Flyers would win the game 2-1. Shots were 34-30 in favor of the Flyers. 41-28 were the faceoffs in favor of the Flyers. Hits were 34-30 in favor of the Flyers, and both teams were 1-3 on the power play. Now, as disappointing as this loss was, it was a very telling sign as to how the first round of the playoffs could be for the Caps, and that is very chippy. But looking at this game, the Caps should have done more in this game, and with six games left, they need to step up their game and not necessarily mail it in at certain points of the game like they do, like against Columbus in the second period, and other like St. Louis, where they probably just didn't even show up. So, you know, can't mail it in for certain points of the game. Got to play hard all, you know, you're going to the playoffs. You want to go into the playoffs in the right groove, not the wrong groove. And especially the fact that this Flyers team is a team that you're supposed to be facing now in the first round if things stay the way they are in the standings in the Eastern Conference. Now, Haley, there's one thing I do have to admit about this game.
What is it?
It was hostile in this house.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Dad's a Flyers fan. And you know, I see my dad's warrant for anger on certain things. If you noticed, in the third period in overtime is when all the penalties were called. But, you know, in the first two periods, there should have been penalties called. There should have been a lot more penalties called. I think both teams got away with murder. And being my dad, he is the passionate Philadelphia Flyers fan that he is, got very angry. And I'm just sitting there writing on my legal pad for the podcast today, praying I don't get a cup thrown at me. But it does bring up a concern going into the playoffs. You had this game that was essentially a playoff preview for the first round, and the refereeing was horrible.
Yeah, you can't really control the refs sometimes.
Yeah, but doesn't that concern you going into the playoffs, not just from a Caps Flyers perspective, but for a league perspective? Because if you're having this type of stuff, you know, Bob McKenzie was asked on NBC Sports I think it was for the rivalry or a few weeks ago. He was asked, what would be a way to help scoring? And of course, he said, call the penalties the way they were when they came back from the year-long lockout, which, yes, you could tell that they've gotten so far away from that, that we're having the problems that we're having now. And doesn't that concern you going into the playoffs as a Blackhawks fan with the way refereeing is?
I think, you know, if there are obvious miscalls by the ref, then yeah, that's concerning. But if it's just one game or a mistake that a ref made, like, everyone makes mistakes, so I don't think it's too concerning. And like I said, you can't control the refs, so even though that's an aspect of the game and sometimes that can make a big difference, the teams just need to play their game and make sure that they do what they need to do right, and everything will fall into place.
All right. Well, let's hope so for the playoffs, because if I was the league officials, those two guys, those two refs would not be in the playoffs.
Well, maybe they won't be.
Yeah, we're here.
We'll see.
But with that, we'll be back from break. We got two more games we got to break down. And then, of course, a little later on, we got NHL news and notes. So with that, we are going to go to break now.
Looking for hockey cards to build your collection, or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for the serious hockey fans. And it is now time for the games that were played last night on April 1st, 2016. And Haley, take it away with the Chicago Blackhawks versus the Winnipeg Jets.
All right, for last night's game, you had, for your lineup for the Blackhawks, Jonathan Toews in between Tomas Fleischmann and Andrew Ladd. Artem Anisimov in between Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin. Tuvo Teravainen in between Dale Weiss and Brandon Machinter. Marcus Kruger in between Andrew Shaw and Andrew Desjardins. And for your D partners, we're missing Keith today because of his match penalty last game. So we have, who do we have here? Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Nicholas Hjalmarsson. Victor Svedberg and Brent Seabrook. Eric Gustafson and Michael Roosevelt. And Scott Darling in net. For the first period, Chicago had a penalty at 4:54. Brent Seabrook for tripping. The Jets got a goal at 8:36. Nick Pitan, his second of the season, from Joel Armia and Andrew Kopp. Followed by a penalty by Winnipeg, 13:48, Adam Lowry for holding. Chicago got a power play goal on this at 14:39. Artemi Panarin, his 26th of the season, from Patrick Kane and Artem Anisimov. Another goal for Chicago at 17 minutes. Brandon Mashinter, his fourth of the season from Tuvo Teravainen and Erik Gustafsson. Followed by a penalty with 19:46 in the first by Trevor Van Riemsdyk for hooking from Chicago. After the first period, Chicago was up 2-1. Shots were 13-9 in favor of Winnipeg. Faceoffs 14-12 in favor of Winnipeg, and hits 12-4 in favor of Winnipeg. Chicago was 1-for-1 on their power play, and Winnipeg was 0-for-2. Here it goes back to the physical play of Chicago. They need to get the physical game back in, although it's not affecting them very much now because they're up 2-1, but in the long run, it'll make a difference. Otherwise, the faceoffs were pretty even, and just a couple more shots on goal for Chicago would have done them well. In the second period, Winnipeg got a goal at 12:08 from Blake Wheeler, his 21st of the season, from Nikolai Ehlers and Dustin Byfuglien. Chicago got a penalty at 13:42, Brent Seabrook for delay of game, followed by a goal from Chicago at 17:22 by Patrick Kane, his 40th of the season, from Artemi Panarin and Erik Gustafsson. After the second, it was 3-2 Chicago. Winnipeg's shots were 25-16. Faceoffs were won by Winnipeg 20-17 and hits 18-11. Chicago was 1-for-1 on their power play, and Winnipeg was 0-for-3. So you see that the special teams here were very effective for Chicago, whereas it wasn't as effective for Winnipeg, and this is making a difference in the game now. Going into the third, Winnipeg got a penalty at 2:05, Nick Petan for hooking. Another penalty at 3:27, Dustin Byfuglien for hooking. Followed by a goal by Winnipeg at 5:33, Dustin Byfuglien, his 18th of the season, from Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele. Another goal by Winnipeg at 11:39, Blake Wheeler from Dustin Byfuglien and Mark Scheifele. And then a goal by Chicago from Artemi Panarin, his 27th of the season, at 15:15 for Marcus Kruger and Brent Seabrook. This brought the teams into overtime, where with 1 minute and 2 seconds into the overtime, Chicago won the game by a shot from Brent Seabrook, his 14th of the season, from Artemi Panarin and Jonathan Toews. The final of the game was Chicago 5-4. Shots were 32-27 Winnipeg. Faceoffs won by Winnipeg 31-29. And hits 23-13 by Winnipeg. In the third period, Chicago was 1-for-3 on their power play, and Winnipeg was 0-for-3. So going into the playoffs, Chicago's special teams in their power play are, and penalty kill too, are really jiving. So that's a good thing for Chicago going into the playoffs, and we'll see how that goes.
Now,
Mike.
Now I got to ask Scheifele guy.
Yeah.
It's really Scheifele.
Scheifele. I was close.
You were close. I wanted to give you a nice little
Scheifele.
Scheifele. Hello, my name is Scheifele.
Why can't they just have easy pronunciations?
Because we don't want to have easy names. We want to be difficult, like my last name, Lindenbaum.
Yeah.
Hey, not everyone can have an easy name like Haley Williams, okay?
I know.
But, of course, we also had one other game last night, which was the Washington Capitals at the Colorado Avalanche. For the Washington Capitals, your lineup was Alex Ovechkin with Marcus Johansson and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson, Daniel Winnick with Mike Richards and Stanislav Galiv. Your defense pairings was Carl Alzer with Matt Niskanen and Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, and Braden Holtby in the net as he is still trying to vie to break Martin Brodeur's single-season wins record. And going into the first period, it was Justin Williams getting called for tripping at 15:17, and then Jay Beagle called for high-sticking at 19:28. At the end of the first, it was tied 0-0. Shots were 15-7 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 14-5 in favor of Colorado. Hits were 5-4 in favor of the Caps. The Caps had no power plays, but Colorado had one. They're 0-for-1 in the power play, and their second one in progress going into the second period. This was a very good period for the Caps. They outplayed the Avalanche and hit three posts in the process. The Caps do need to do better, however, in the faceoff circle, and they need to stay out of the penalty box. And then, going into the second period, Which, by the way, I have to admit, at this point, I'm already kind of checked out of the game because WWE NXT TakeOver Dallas is going on, and that Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn match was off the hook. But I still paid attention to the Caps game on the side, starting with the second period, where at 8:50, the Capitals got on the board with Jay Beagle, his eighth of the season, from unassisted. And then, of course, Blake Comeau was called for hooking at 12:21. And on that power play at 12:57, Alex Ovechkin would score his 45th of the season for Marcus Johansson and Evgeny Kuznetsov, their 26th and 55th of the season, respectively. And then at 14:16, Jason Schmera would score his 19th of the season for Mike Richards and John Carlson, the 3rd and 27th, respectively, of the season. And then Cody McLeod would be called for charging at 14:42. And then Matt Niskanen would be called for hooking at 18:59. Which on that power play at 19:19, Jerome Iginla would score his 20th of the season from Gabriel Landeskog and Carl Soderberg. At the end of the second period, the Caps would be up 3-1. Shots were 30-13 in favor of the Capitals. Faceoffs were 23-15 in favor of Colorado. And hits were 14-6 in favor of the Caps. The Caps were 1-for-2 on the power play, whereas Colorado was 1-for-3. This was a very good period for the Caps. They finally got the puck past Semyon Varlamov, and they built themselves a lead going into the third period. However, they do need to do a better job in the faceoff circle and stay out of the penalty box still. And then in the third period, you had Chris Bigras call for high sticking at 7:36, and then Gabriel Landeskog scoring at 14:21, his 20th of the season from Carl Soderberg and Blake Comeau. And then with the empty net wide open at 19:50, TJ Oshie would net his 25th of the season from Daniel Winnick and Jay Beagle, their 13th and 9th of the season, respectively. The Capitals would go on to win 4-2. Shots were 47-19 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 32-22 in favor of Colorado. Hits were 21-11 in favor of the Caps. And both teams were 1-for-3 on the power play. Now, analysis for this is simple. I didn't write it down because it was kind of straightforward. The Capitals dominated this game outright. They kind of lacked a little bit, which led up to two goals against, but they need to do better in faceoffs. Yes, they're missing Nicklas Backstrom, but even with Backstrom in the lineup, they haven't been doing well in faceoffs. You've got to do well in faceoffs. Hits was really good. Their PK was good. Their power play was good. They just outright dominated. When you see a thing where they shot 47 shots, that's average about 15 shots a period. Which technically they also kind of did. So, great game for the Washington Capitals going into this final stretch for them, which on the road for both Chicago and the Caps. For the Blackhawks, on March 3rd at 12:30 p.m., they take on the Boston Bruins, and then on April 3rd, they take on the Bruins. I make my mistakes too. I am not innocent at all in all of this. And then April 5th at 8:30 p.m., the Chicago Blackhawks take on the Arizona Coyotes. And then on April 7th at 8:30 p.m., they take on the St. Louis Blues. I'm going to hold off on their April 9th game for a moment, and we'll explain why in the next segment after NHL News and Notes. And then for the Washington Capitals, tonight actually at 10 p.m., they're at the Arizona Coyotes. On the 5th, they're at home against the New York Islanders. And on the 7th, they're at home against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I'll hold off on the 9th and 10th games for the Capitals as well until the next segment. You see, Haley, I'm not that innocent, too. I make my mistakes, too.
We're all human.
Yeah, exactly. And with that, Haley, why don't you send us off the break?
All right, we're going to go to break now. When we come back, we'll be doing NHL news and notes. So stick with us after this break.
Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention is right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious talk for the serious hockey fans. Haley Williams here, and it is now time for the NHL news and notes.
And ladies and gentlemen, we start off with March 6th when the Columbus Blue Jackets signed defenseman Dalton Prout to a two-year contract, general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen said. Financial terms of the contract, however, were not released.
Devin Dubnyk turned aside all 29 shots he faced, and Zach Parise had a second straight multi-goal game to help the Minnesota Wild pass the Colorado Avalanche for their fifth consecutive victory.
Four players had multiple points, including Jaromir Jagr, and Roberto Luongo made 33 saves to help the Florida Panthers pass the Tampa Bay Lightning and back into first place in the Atlantic Division.
Down 3-0 after two periods, the Anaheim Ducks scored four unanswered goals, including the tying marker by Hampus Lindholm, with 57.2 seconds remaining in the third period and the overtime winner by Rickard Rakell to improve to 2-1-1 on their five-game road trip.
The Islanders yielded three straight goals to see their 2-0 lead erased, but Cal Clutterbuck tied the game 30 seconds into the third period and added the game winner with 13.8 seconds remaining in overtime to lift the Islanders past the Carolina Hurricanes.
On March 27th, Andrew Ladd scored the game-winning goal with 2:27 remaining in the regulation to help the Blackhawks clinch a berth in the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs, their eighth consecutive postseason appearance.
And then on March 28th, Ottawa Senators defenseman Dion Phaneuf and forward Clark MacArthur will each miss the rest of the regular season, the Senators announced. Phaneuf had missed the past two games because of an oblique injury and soreness in his right foot. Initial x-rays on the foot were negative, but further testing revealed a hairline fracture. The injury sustained while blocking a shot in the Senators' 4-0 win against the Toronto Maple Leafs on March 12th will not impact his summer training regimen. MacArthur played four games this season because of a concussion, though he passed a baseline test and is medically cleared to play. A decision to sideline him until the start of the 2016-17 season was made in conjunction with Senators' doctors and management.
NHL Stars of the Week ending March 27th. The first star was Zach Parise, left wing for Minnesota Wild. Parise paced the NHL with five goals and shared the league lead with 7 points in three contests to help the Wild extend their winning streak to a season-high five games and move back into the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. The second star was Brian Elliott, goalie from the St. Louis Blues. Elliott stopped all 52 shots he faced over two appearances to help the Blues extend their shutout streak to a franchise record four consecutive games and clinched their fifth straight playoff berth. The third star was Phil Kessel, right wing from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Kessel shared the league lead in assists, 5 and 0.7, to help the Penguins win two of their three starts and finish the week in third place in the Metropolitan Division.
And then, also on the 28th, Joe Thornton scored the go-ahead goal at 4:28 of the third period to help the San Jose Sharks defeat the Los Angeles Kings 5-2 and clinch a playoff berth, their 11th postseason appearance in their past 12 seasons.
Ben Bishop made 34 saves to lead the Tampa Bay Lightning to a 3-0 win against the Toronto Maple Leafs, their fourth victory in the past five games. Bishop, who picked up his fourth straight win, had the 18th shutout of his NHL career and sixth of 2015-16 to eclipse in his single-season career high of five from 2013-2014.
Claude Giroux scored with 13.6 seconds remaining in overtime to lead the Philadelphia Flyers to a 3-2 win against the Winnipeg Jets and an 8-2-2 record in their past 12 games.
On March 29th, the Dallas Stars, 46-22-9 with 101 points, and St. Louis Blues, 46-22-9 with 101 points, each surpassed 100 points on Tuesday as they continue their battle for first place in the Central Division. Though the teams share identical records, Dallas sits in the top spot because it has the row tiebreaker.
And then down 3-0 to the Buffalo Sabres after 20 minutes, Pittsburgh scored four straight goals in the second period, and Chris Letang had the game-deciding goal in the shootout to lift the Penguins to their ninth victory in 10 games.
Logan Couture scored three straight goals for his first NHL hat-trick, 426 games played, and led the San Jose Sharks to a victory in the first half of their home-and-home set against the Vancouver Canucks.
And then Nazem Kadri had his third career hat-trick, and Connor Brown had career highs for assists and points to lead the Toronto Maple Leafs past the Florida Panthers.
On March 30th, Vancouver Canucks forward Jake Virtanen has been suspended for two games without pay for interference against San Jose Sharks defenseman Roman Polak in Vancouver on Tuesday, March 29th. the National Hockey League's Department of Player Safety announced today. Under the terms of a collective bargaining agreement and based on his average annual salary, Virtanen will forfeit $9,614.70.
The Montreal Canadiens agreed to terms of goaltender Charlie Lindgren on a two-year, two-way contract. Lindgren, who recently completed his NCAA season with St. Cloud State, will accompany the Canadiens on their upcoming road trip. However, as a result, goaltender Ben Scrivens was placed on waivers, which he did clear and was sent down to St. John's in the AHL.
The Anaheim Ducks moved into first place in the Pacific Division, tied an NHL record, and had their biggest offensive night of the season in an 8-3 victory against the Calgary Flames on Wednesday at the Honda Center. Jacob Silverberg scored twice, and the Ducks got goals from Corey Perry, Brandon Puri, Jamie McGinn, Shea Theodore, Nate Thompson, and Ryan Kessler, who had a career high 4 points. In all, 15 of Anaheim's 18 skaters had at least 1 point.
And then on March 31st, the Florida Panthers scored 3 straight goals, aided by Jaromir Jagr, who had 2 third-period assists, to defeat the New Jersey Devils 3-2 in their third period in their past 4 games, matching a franchise record for wins in a season and moving past the Tampa Bay Lightning into first place in the Atlantic Division.
Also on March 31st, Jonathan Quick had his 42nd career shutout, 5th this season, to lead the Los Angeles Kings past the Calgary Flames 3-0 for the 46th win of the season, matching the franchise record last achieved in 2013-2014 and back into the number one seed in the Pacific Division, 1 point ahead of the idle Anaheim Ducks.
And then the Dallas Stars scored 4 unanswered goals, powered by Jamie Benn, reaching the 40-goal milestone for the first time to defeat the Arizona Coyotes 4-1 and pick up their 6th victory in their past 7 games, moving them 2 points ahead of the idle St. Louis Blues into sole possession of first place in the Central Division and Western Conference.
Lastly, on March 31st, the Department of Player Safety fined Washington Capitals forward Jason Chimira $5,000 for butt-ending Flyers defenseman Shane Gostisbehere.
And then on April 1st, the NHL Rookie of the Month for March was announced. Edmonton Oilers center Connor McDavid, who led all rookies with 11 assists and 16 points in 15 games, has been named the NHL's Rookie of the Month for March.
April 1st, NHL Stars of the Month for March. First star, Sidney Crosby, center of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Crosby led all players with 14 assists and 21 points in 16 games to power the Penguins to a 12-4-0 March, tied for their second most wins in any calendar month in franchise history. He registered at least 1 point in 15 of his 16 appearances, including a 12-game point streak to open the month. Crosby also posted 6 multi-point performances and added 2 game-winning goals to lift the Penguins into second place in the Metropolitan Division. Second star, Devan Dubnyk, goalie of the Minnesota Wild. Dubnyk went 10-2-1 with a 2.06 goals against average, 927 save percentage, and 1 shutout in 14 appearances to propel the Wild to a 10-4-1 March, 1 win shy of the franchise record for any calendar month. He yielded two or fewer goals in his 9 of 14 outings, highlighted by a 29-save shutout March 26th against the Colorado Avalanche, the Wild's closest competition in the race for the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. And the third star was Brent Burns, defenseman of the San Jose Sharks. Burns shared second place in the NHL in both assists with 13 and points with 19 in 16 games to guide the Sharks to a 9-7-0 March and their 11th playoff berth in the last 12 seasons.
And then we had some fines come up. Edmonton Oilers forward Nail Yakupov has been fined $2,000 as supplementary discipline under NHL Rule 64 diving embellishment, the National Hockey League announced.
Arizona Coyotes forward Martin Hanzel has been fined $2,000 as supplementary discipline under NHL Rule 64 diving embellishment, the National Hockey League announced.
And then the third one was Toronto Maple Leafs forward Nazem Kadri has been fined a total of $5,000 as supplementary discipline under NHL Rule 64 diving and embellishment, the National Hockey League announced. Kadri had 2 instances where he was cited, so he got fined $2,000 for a game in March 12th and a game again on March 21st, I believe, which was for $3,000, which is how you get the $5,000. The next time that Nazem Kadri gets cited for diving under Rule 64 or embellishment under Rule 64, he will be fined $4,000, and Mike Babcock, the coach, will be fined $2,000 as a result of that being his 4th time being cited.
Chicago Blackhawks defenseman Duncan Keith has been suspended for 6 games without pay for high-sticking Minnesota Wild forward Charlie Coyle during NHL game number 1146 in St. Paul on Tuesday, March 29th, the National Hockey League's Department of Player Safety announced today. The suspension includes the Blackhawks' final 5 regular season games and first Stanley Cup playoff game. Under the terms of collective bargaining agreement and based on his average annual salary, Keith will forfeit $148,883.35.
I could use a lot of that money.
Yeah, that's like, that's 100 times my salary.
Yeah. hey, hey, Duncan. When you lightly get pushed and fall down, and you decide to smack someone in the face, can you smack me in the face?
Yeah.
I could use that money, bro. Anyways, it's still a stupid play by Duncan Keith, though. If you've watched the replay,
a shocking play by him. You wouldn't think so.
Actually, it's not that shocking, being how he's a repeat offender. Because if you remember in the playoffs against the Kings, 2013, I believe, he was picking up his glove and then with one hand just threw the blade of his stick right into Jeff Carter's face. So it's not the first time he's done something like this.
Touché.
Yeah. Which actually played a part in the reason for how long his suspension is. But getting back to April 1st, David Krejci had 2 goals and 2 assists for the playoff-chasing Boston Bruins in a 6-5 win against the St. Louis Blues at Sky Trade Center. And, of course, Haley, I'm going to let you have fun with this one. What's April 1st without some April Fool's fun?
The New Jersey Devils stunned their fans Friday with an announcement that the organization would be rebranding itself as the New Jersey Angels. A new logo featuring Angels wings adorning the familiar NJ was unveiled on Twitter at New Jersey Angels and at NewJerseyAngelsHockey.com, complete with a halo hugging the top of the J. Alternate captain Adam Henrique was shown in a jersey with the new team colors of gray, gold, and white, along with a link to new merchandise. Of course, if Devils fans stopped to catch their breath and look at the calendar, they would have realized that the whole thing was an elaborate and well-executed April Fool's Day prank. The hoax went as far up the ladder as Devils president Hugh Weber, who tweeted, "New direction, new future, new identity, changing for the best, introducing the at New Jersey Angels, hashtag Angels are real, NewJerseyAngelsHockey.com.
I laughed so hard. Did you actually see the merchandise that they put out there?
I didn't, no.
Oh, I'll send you pictures. Oh, man, it is so... you could actually see it on the Experience Hockey Talk Twitter page. It's hilarious. Like, I saw that, I was like, oh my god. Because also, keep in mind, seeing this side from the Devils is quite refreshing, because for the longest time, Lou Lamoriello was the president of the Devils. You never saw anything really lighthearted, like something like this, to kind of get people riled up as a joke.
Yeah.
So to see teams do this, and especially with the day and age of social media, it is really great with how they're able to roll it out. Because it actually all started by them doing a video of their mascot, the New Jersey Devil, redecorating Hugh Weber's office. And they showed a slight tease of a binder with the logo on it, saying confidential. And it was like this quick little thing that was
That's
like,
hilarious.
And it just led into this whole marketing campaign of an April Fool's Day prank, and it was just perfect. It was great.
Great prank.
But with that, as everyone knows, I mentioned it in the last segment, there are 3 more games that the Blackhawks and Caps have combined, but I didn't mention it in the next patch. That is because Haley and I are going to be getting back together either on Thursday night or Friday to break down all the games up until April 7th, because we are going to then come back after the weekend on either April 11th or 12th to break down the games that happened on Saturday and Sunday of next weekend, and also give everyone our playoff preview. And then hopefully by then, the playoff schedule will be out, and we will also be giving you what our playoff schedule should be like for the podcast, after Haley and I obviously talk it over, being how Haley is the professional hockey player and I am the wannabe professional hockey player. So
I'm going to professionally watch these games and do better next time, I promise.
I'm holding you to that.
All pronunciations included.
But with that, Haley, I'll say this right here, right now. For your first time, you did a good job.
Thanks, Mike.
Mistakes are made, but this is how you learn. It
Yeah,
really
I
is.
appreciate it.
Because, and I want to say this, and for the people who listen to my other podcast, The Experience, which covers conventions and Maryland Championship Wrestling, and I know a lot of people have been asking me, when's my New York City episode from last weekend coming out? Guys, I've been sick all week. If you can't tell how congested I sound right now, yeah, I've been sick. I still got to record the third and final segment, but definitely I want to thank Ben Penrod, the head of AwesomeCon, and Howie Noel, the creator of the Terra Normal comic, for joining me for that show at Madison Square Garden last Friday. Don't worry, that episode's coming up. It's coming up soon, especially with this being WrestleMania weekend. You're damn right I'm going to begin that episode up. So. But with that podcast, I made a lot of mistakes, especially when I'm interviewing celebrities for the first time. That's how you learn. You got to make your mistakes. And Haley, you made a fair share, but you
I'm
did get,
proud of it.
yeah, exactly. Be proud of it. You kept going, and that's the great thing about, how you're doing. So you're going to get better. You're going to get better. And with
I
that. And with that, Haley, where can the people follow you on Twitter and other social media?
You can follow me on Twitter at Hey H-A-Y Willie Willi Athlete, Hey Willie Athlete, and then on Instagram, Haley Williams Athlete. Haley Williams athlete.
Yeah, because we don't want no confusion of that other Haley Williams that.
Yeah, we don't know any other Haley Williams.
Yeah, we know this one. This is the good one. So, and of course, yeah, you don't. You could follow me on Twitter at Experience Hockey, Experience Hockey on Twitter, and on Facebook at facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk. If you want to follow me personally on Twitter, my Twitter handle is in the Experience Hockey Talk bio. So feel free, because I ain't going to spell out my last name for you people. But. I love you guys. I'm gonna spell my name out for you. So
I
with
love
that,
you guys too.
this has been the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans, and we have been brought to you by the Till to Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, the Till Kilt Pub and Eatery located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic themed sports pub featuring the world famous Till to Kilt girls. For more on them, visit them at Facebook today. Haley,
Yep.
good show, chap.
Oh, you too. Thanks.
And with that, well, till next time, we'll see you on the
See
ice.
you next time.